Heavenly Father, we come. We're thankful for tonight. We're thankful for the opportunity we have this evening. And we're thankful for this Lord's Day. We're thankful for a risen, resurrected Savior. And I pray, Lord, that you've been worshiped in our meetings today. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning, for the truth that we learned. I pray that that grabs hold of who we are, that we walk it out, we live it out as we head into a new week. Lord, I pray for tonight. I pray for the opportunity that we have to learn about you. And I pray that it continues to build hearts of worship in your people. So we tell you, we love you, we praise you, we worship you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Glad you're here tonight. I was just looking out. It looks like we're doing pretty well on the back half of our church coming back on Sunday night. We need to work maybe on getting the front half to come back on Sunday night. So glad you're here tonight. There's a saying that goes, the only constant is change. It's actually centuries old. Some great philosopher said, the only constant is change. When you look around and you watch life, that seems to be true. You look around and everything seems to be changing. Seasons change. It is a cooler day today. We do not expect that to hang on. We know seasons change. Fads, they come and they go. Things change. Trends change. People's tastes change. I was just talking to my sons at lunch. We were talking about when I was a little kid, and I'm talking a little kid, eating a Big Mac was a big deal. I don't know if you remember that. It was a big deal to get a Big Mac. And my mom would say, you know, if you act right this week on Friday, we can get a Big Mac. And I used to think, sesame seed bun and all, man, that's going to be a big deal. Our tastes change. I don't really care that much about a Big Mac today. Expectations, they change. Affections change. You ever love something or maybe even someone, and over time things change, and something that you held as dear, that changes. Governments change. Nations change. Go look up the British Empire, not that long ago, and how things have changed. Go look up the Roman Empire. Things wear out. People grow up. Things grow old. People wear out. Everywhere we look, we see change, and that seems to be constant in our lives. The only constant is change. Now, as I was thinking about that, I started thinking about certain things, and there's a whole lot of things we could look at, but think about these things. Think about the printing press. Scribes were a handwriting thing. If there was going to be a publication, it had to be handwritten. And then there's the invention of the printing press. The historians tell us that actually changes the world. You can print newspapers. You can print pamphlets. You can put out books. And the whole world changes with that. And then think about how that changes. Remember typewriters? You remember having a typewriter? Every office had a typewriter. There was somebody that was proficient, and they had the little whiteout deal, and they could move it over, and they were proficient in a typewriter. Remember phone booths? Hasn't been that long ago there were phone booths, public telephones. My kids here, here's a quarter, call someone who cares. They don't even know what that song's talking about. Long gone. Phone books. Remember phone books? Everybody had, yeah, if you did it right, you could have one by every phone. And so you keep last year's and you're waiting on the new phone book to come and all the new ads in it. Phone books. And now phone books have disappeared. Here's one that was kind of weird. Pagers. Remember important people had pagers, and they would always look to let you know they're important. I've got somebody that I need to call back. Here's one I remember from being a kid. Arcades. You went to a place where they had all the video games. They weren't on your TV. They weren't at home. They for sure weren't on your phone. And so you would go to an arcade. I think we had three or four here in town. And your mom would drop you off at the arcade. You could play for a couple hours and she'd pick you up. How about this one? Long gone. Road maps. Remember road maps? Your glove box was full of them. They were weird. I don't remember that anybody ever could fold one back up after you unfolded it. It unfolded in 16 sections. You would try to fold it back up into the place you were going. You would look at the road map and then you'd drive and you never could put it back together. Road maps are long gone. Here's one that I think is very interesting. This was a big, big deal for a pretty good while. This was a big deal. If you bought these and if you had these, it meant that you wanted your kids to succeed in life. And so if you didn't have these, you didn't want your kids to succeed. And if your kids were ever going to be smart, you had to have a set of encyclopedias. Remember encyclopedias? You could actually finance a set of encyclopedias. I'll pay you out for 24 months for some information that's going to become outdated. My brother had his auction company. You can't throw away encyclopedias. Nobody wants a set of encyclopedias. Kodak cameras, Polaroid cameras, drive-in movies. You can watch a movie on your phone now. Floppy disk came and went. A floppy disk. Here's one I remember, record players. And you had a whole set of records and you could pull those out. Cassette players. Remember when there were record stores and you would go to the record store and kill 2 hours looking at the new records, looking at the new cassettes that had come out. Walkman radios. You were cool in 1986 if you had a Walkman and you would wear it and you'd have your new cassette and you could put it in and listen to it. All of those things have come and gone because things changed. Things changed. Everything seems to change. But here's the truth tonight, and here's our focus tonight. Our God, He never changes. All of those things, and I think how sometimes we think, you know what, that is set in concrete. That'll never change. That's too important. Everything hinges on that, and they change. But the truth is, our God, He never changes. In the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." That's the testimony of God's word. "For I, the Lord, do not change." Psalm 102, verses 26 and 27, they say this, "Even they will perish, but you endure." Speaking of God, "you endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." Let me read that again. "And they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." The truth of Scripture is our God, He is the same. He does not change. The word for that is the word immutable. Immutable. This characteristic of God is therefore referred to as the immutability of God. He doesn't change. If you look up that definition, it doesn't mean He's unlikely to change. It means He is unable. He has no potential to change. Now, as we start to think about that tonight, that is another big thing. That is another profound thing for us to try to wrap our heads around. It seems as we've moved through our study on Sunday nights, some of these attributes of God, if not all of them, are hard to consider, are large things for us to consider and to wrap our heads around. So let's think about that tonight. He never changes. God never changes. And so what does that mean? Here we are tonight. What does that practically mean for us tonight? He never changes. I wrote down a couple things. First is this. He never changes, so His existence never changes. Now the Bible tells us, we've talked about this, He has always been, He is right now, and He will always be. We looked at that. That means He is eternal God. That's one of the attributes that we've looked at. There's a lot of things tied to that. He is eternal God. Now that also means He is infinite God. Now, I was thinking about that this afternoon as I was putting that together. It not only means both of those things, but it means both of those things equally and then flipped over. He is infinitely, eternally God, and He is eternally infinite as God. And so both of those things go back to this. He doesn't change. He has always existed. And so he is infinitely eternal, God, and he is eternally infinite as God. Both of those things together. Now, what that means in more simple terms is he doesn't have a start. He did not come into being. He is not growing. He is not developing. He is not getting better. He is eternal God. Now, that by itself still takes time for us to consider. He is before creation. Think about that. All of creation, everything we know, he is before that. So he is before creation, yes. He is before time. Our markers of time really start with creation, but before there is time, he exists. He is before time, and he's really outside of time. You might ask the question, well, where did he come from? A lot of folks ask that. Where did he come from? If he always was, how did he get there? Where did he come from? Well, the answer to that is he always was. Well, what do you mean he always was? He always was. There was never a time that he wasn't. Where did he come from? He always was. It just goes in a circle. How did he get there? My answer to that is yes. Right now, he's not wearing out. If you got any sense in it or not, we know we're wearing out. He's not needing to reload. He's not needing to re-up. He doesn't have to pace himself. He doesn't have a lot of big things coming up, and so he has to pace himself. Isaiah chapter 40 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired." He's not less than he's ever been. Here's something to think about. He's not more than he's ever been. Both of those things equally true. He never changes. His existence never changes. Second thing to think about tonight is this. He never changes, so his attributes do not change. His attributes do not change. Now, what that means is he's not getting smarter as time progresses. He's not gaining or growing in wisdom. He's not becoming more compassionate, more than some other previous time. He's not more loving. He wasn't more loving at the cross of Calvary than he was at any other time. He's not more loving because his attributes, they do not change. That's why the Bible says, Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." We can say that. He's good. He's always been good. He still is good. His loving kindness, his mercy, it is everlasting. It doesn't taper off. His faithfulness is to all generations. He is who he has been, and who he is who he will be. All of his character traits, all of his characteristics are the same. Here's another thing. He does not change. Now, I think this is awesome. They're all awesome. But so think about this. He does not change, so his word does not change. His word does not change. Have you ever said something and you have to take it back? That's a bad thing to have to do. You ever have to do that? I got to go back and set that right. You ever have to take it back? Your opinion changes. Your idea changes. And so what you think changes, that's no longer what I think. And I need to go back and change what I said. Or maybe you get some new information. Sometimes that happens. And so you have to update what it is that you said, or you have to adapt what it is that you said. I've got some new information. I've learned some things, and so I've got to go back and set that straight. Well, here's the deal. God does not change. He is who he is. He knows all things. He has always known all things, and so his word does not change. He doesn't have a new opinion. He hasn't gained new information. There's not additional wisdom that he has that would shape what it is that he said sometime in the past. His word does not change. His promises, they do not change. They stand. They do not change. That's why the Bible can say, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Psalm 119 says this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I went and looked that up this afternoon. Forever, your word is settled. That word for settled in the Hebrew, it means it is fixed. It is set. It is permanent. Because God does not change, his word will never need a second edition. You ever notice that? There's a science book that comes out, and it's not very long before they have to have a second edition. I've noticed this. There's Kate Turabian. She's an English editor. I think they're on the 7th or 8th edition of just the English language. Things change. Things are moving around. And so they need a new edition. Do you know there's never going to be the need for a second edition of the Word of God, our Bible. It is permanently set in heaven. So what does all of that mean? Those are just a few things. What does that mean for us tonight? Here we are gaining our understanding of who God is. That should be prompting in us, welling up in us, a heart of worship toward him. What does that mean? Here's what it means tonight. It means we can trust and depend on him. Anything or anyone else could get better, could get worse, but it's hard to put your faith, your trust in anything that's not settled. We can totally trust God. We can depend on God. That's the first thing we take away from this. I can trust him. We can trust and depend in him. Second thing is this, and it really flows from that, but it is a separate thing. Second thing is this, so we can take comfort and rest in him. You ever wait for the carpet to get pulled out from under you? Or you ever wait for the other shoe to drop? You ever wait, well, that's good, I like it, but it's not going to last. There's going to be another shoe and it's going to drop. Sometimes I walk around, I look up above me. He doesn't change. And he is dependable. And he's trustworthy. And so we can take comfort in that. We can rest in that. We're secure in him. We can rest in that. And the third thing is this. Because of that, he doesn't change. He is worthy of our worship. And we can be glad in him. Sometimes I wonder how it is that we're not glad in who our God is. Tonight we can come and say, he doesn't change. Because of that, his word is steadfast, set, fixed in heaven. Because of that, we can trust in him. We can depend on him. And we can rest in that. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this week. I don't know. Some of us are going to go. We may get a terrible diagnosis. We may go and our finances may run out. We may have a surprise in some of our relationships. People do wild and crazy things. I don't know about any of that. But I can tell you, my God stands and he does not change. And we can trust and depend on his word. We ought to be glad about that. He is worthy of our worship because of that. 101 years ago, it's interesting how time seems so long and also seems so short. 101 years ago, there was a Methodist pastor. He was reflecting on God's faithfulness over the course of his life. Sometimes you ought to do that. All the ups, all of the downs, all of the good days, all of the bad days. He hasn't left us, hasn't forsaken us. And he was thinking about the faithfulness of God over many years. And he sat down and he wrote a poem. And I want you to listen to where he took hope. He could have written a poem about a lot of things. This is what he wrote. Here's his poem. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow, not an inkling, of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. That was later set to music. You know that. became very popular during the Billy Graham Crusades. They would sing it at many of those crusades. Tonight we're going to end by worshiping our God who does not change by singing that poem set to words tonight. I'm going to ask if you'll stand with me. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to end by worshiping by singing those words tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come tonight. We are thankful that tonight in very short order we have learned from your word that you do not change and that you're trustworthy. And we can rest in that. We can take hope in that. We know the things you've said, they stand. And we're not waiting for another shoe to drop. We have fixed in you our hope, our peace, our future, even our very eternity. Lord, we're thankful for our Savior, Jesus. The book of Hebrews says he doesn't change as well, that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We have that same hope fixed in him. Lord, I pray that we take peace in that, that you have been faithful because that's all you can be, that you will be faithful. It's all you've ever been, and that we can take hope in that. Lord, I pray for our church tonight. We thank you for it, and I thank you for your movement in it. I'm thankful for good things that we see happening. Lord, I'm thankful for lives that are changing, lives that are growing. Lord, I pray for the families of our church, for the people of our church, the individuals of our church. Lord, I pray for the upcoming events and that you'd be blessed through them, that you'd be known through them. I pray for the sermon series as we go through Romans, that we would be built to be a people to stand in a world that's going against you. Lord, I pray for our kids' camp coming up this summer. I pray that you're at the center of it. I pray it's the best one that we've ever assembled, put together. I pray that your truth is made known to many people through it. Lord, we come and I pray for the folks here, those listening in tonight, each of us with different concerns, each of us with different things coming up. Some of those things cause us to worry, to wonder. I pray, Lord, that we take hope tonight, that we can add to another generation, to another generation, to a Methodist preacher long gone. We can say, Lord, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We praise you for that, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen.